Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome, beloved, to another Set Free Live broadcast. I'm Prophetess Deborah Taylor, and it is a blessing and an honor to be with you again today. Now listen, we will be starting a new series on today, and I'm very excited about that. We're going to go into end-time prophecy, and we're doing a study on the book of Revelation. So I encourage you to get your Bibles, ink pens, notepads. Amen. And come on and join me for the next few minutes as we go into the Word of God. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise for this day. We thank you for allowing us to be once again on the broadcast. And Father, as we go into the Word today, I'm asking that you bless, Father, that you anoint this Word. Let it minister to every hearer. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going into Revelation. We're going to begin at the first chapter. And I'm going to try to get through the first chapter today and do just a little bit of an introduction. The book of Revelation is not a difficult book to understand. It's a book that Jesus wants us to know about. He sent this message through John, the beloved disciple. This disciple was very close to him while he walked the earth. And so we want to break down this book by divisions and just give you an overview of where we're going with this. If you look, the first chapter basically deals with a vision of Christ. Jesus is shown very clearly in Revelation chapter 1. John, as we're going to read, was banished to the Isle of Patmos because of his faith in Christ and his walk. Glory to God. And Jesus shows up. Do you know Jesus always shows up at the right time? Amen. He's never late. He's never busy. He's always on time, and we thank God, amen, for that. Okay, now let's read Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. If you have your Bibles, we're going to begin there. Amen. Revelation, let's see here, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show him, to show unto his servants, things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." Now there's always order in the word. There's order here. "Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw." Now John was the only disciple according to tradition that actually died a natural death. All the others, they were martyred, beheaded, stoned. Peter, a tradition says, was crucified upside down. But John is the only one here. He lived a quite long life. But as I said, we're going to read here where he was put and why. Okay, verse 3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Do you know it is a blessing to read and study the Word of God? We talked about the Beatitudes not long ago, and we went over this word blessed, and blessed means to be favored, to have the favor of God on our life. So the Bible says here, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear, it's a twofold thing, the words of this prophecy. When you hear prophecy, and you and most of the Bible, beloved, is prophecy. Most of the Word of God is prophetic. This is a prophetic book, actually, from Genesis to Revelation. So prophecy is not something that we take lightly. This book right here is yet to be fulfilled in its fullest. I mean, we're still living prior to the rapture of the church, and we're going to find out the timeline. When it's going to take place, we don't know, because the Bible says that no man knows the day nor the hour when Jesus is going to come. But we can see that the signs are all around. Things are preparing for the coming of the Lord, for the end time events that will take place. Amen. Once the church is gone and no more physically on the earth, there are things that will happen that are yet to happen, that have not happened yet. Amen. Okay, so the time is at hand. Again, this book is not hard to understand. This is a literal book. That means everything in this book, of course, from Genesis to Revelation, amen, is real. Amen. Now, if you believe the Word of God, you believe that it's true, glory to God, then you know as we study this, you'll understand that, oh my God, the things that are going to take place. Glory to God. Now, let's go on. Let me just tell you that Revelation chapter 1 deals with things that are seen. It deals with Christ in the midst of the candlesticks or the churches. Now, it's very important, as we know, beloved, to have the anointing of God on our lives, the favor of God on our lives, and to have God in the midst of us. We need him in everything that we do. We need him in our churches. Amen. If the anointing is not there, amen, we're in trouble. Amen. But we thank the Lord that God is with us. The anointing of God is with us. The presence of the Lord, amen, is so vital. Amen. In our midst, without the presence of God, oh my, we really are in trouble. But we do thank God that Jesus is in the midst. Amen. And in this particular passage of Scripture, Jesus is right in the midst. Now, Revelation chapter 2 and 3 will deal with the various churches in Asia. And there's a message to each church that we're going to read about and study about. And then from chapters 4 through 22, it talks about things that will take place after the rapture of the church and the rise of Antichrist and all of the seals and the vials and the woes and the mark and everything that's going to take place after that to culminate the return of Jesus, literally, amen, to come and fight at Armageddon. And we're going to come with him. And there will be things going on in heaven during the seven-year tribulation. So this will be a very exciting time. Once this falls into play, literally, this earth will never be the same. Amen. And we're looking for Jesus to come. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. And we ought to want to get to where, beloved, we can really say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, we want you to come. But you know what? The church as a whole can't really pray that prayer, because you know why? The body isn't ready. We're not ready. Amen. So every day that God gives us opportunity to remain, he says, occupy until I come. That means work. Amen. That means be about the Father's business. Amen. Now, listen, when you're interpreting prophecy, give the meaning of the word to the words of prophecy that are given to the words of history. In other words, take it literally. Don't change it. Don't. If it's a literal meaning, apply that. If it's a spiritual meaning, apply that. Just follow what the Word of God says, beloved. You won't have a problem. Don't seek to find hidden meanings to words of Scripture or add to the Scripture. Okay? Believe that prophecy can be understood as it is, without any changes or additions. In other words, when God gives you something, amen, he speaks a word, take it just for what he says. Don't try to add to it. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to say, well, maybe he didn't mean that. If he says a thing, he means exactly what he says. How many of you know God speaks with clarity? Amen. He doesn't speak behind a smoke screen as psychics do. Amen. They speak from a haze. They don't see clearly because, first of all, they're speaking from familiar spirits. Amen. God gives you clarity. Amen. He'll give you, speak a word in season. Amen. Even to your situation. And when he says a thing, beloved, believe him. Believe what he is saying. Amen. Do not change God's own meaning and interpretation of any symbol or prophecy. Amen. Don't change it. Just take it for what it is. Amen. Now, the word wants us to know that we must read it, we must hear it, and we must keep it. Amen. When you read the word of God and God gives you a message, amen, it doesn't matter where it is in the Bible. Amen. You're reading it and the understanding comes. That means you need to hear it. That means you need to take heed to what is. You may need to repent. Amen. He may give us a word of correction. Well, we're hearing that. We're reading it. Amen. And then we must take heed to what the word says. And then when he's given us instruction, that means we keep it. Come on. It's a threefold thing. Glory to God. So we apply these same principles, amen, to this book. Now, let's go on and let's read a little bit. Let's read verses 4 through 6. It says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now this is a salutation. This is a greeting that John is given because Jesus told him to write this book and send it to the churches. That means he had a message for them. He had a direct word, amen, for every church, and we're going to talk about that. John is always giving us a view of Jesus, of who he is. Amen. John saw him in a way that none of the other apostles saw him. Glory to God. And this is just a wonderful, wonderful illustration, wonderful vision, if you will, of Jesus. He was faithful. He's the first begotten of the dead. That means Jesus died, was buried, and rose for our sins. Amen. He rose for our justification. Glory be to God. Okay. And he's the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Now, verse 6 is a prophetic scripture. It says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God. Do you realize that we're a royal seed? We're a royal priesthood? The Bible talks about that, us being a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's why we're to be holy. We're to walk holy. We're to talk holy. Amen. We're to live holy because God is holy, and he's not going to accept anything less than that. Amen. As we talked about in the series on demonology and the different strong men, all of that, beloved, all of those strong men were revealed so that we would come out of sin, amen, and walk in deliverance and freedom and liberty, glory to God, so that we can claim all of the promises of God, amen. The Bible says that his promises are yea and amen. That means yes and so be it. Glory be to God. Thy will be done, Father, on earth as it is in heaven. And we want the will of the Lord to be done. Okay, so he's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. How many of you know that when Jesus died, he took back the dominion that the enemy had stole from Adam? He's the second Adam. Glory to God. The first Adam fell. So Jesus had to come, amen, and be the living sacrifice, a pure sacrifice, so that he could take the dominion back. Now we can walk in total dominion, total victory. Amen. We're not here dredging through life, Come on now. Amen. Just barely surviving, barely. But we are more than conquerors. Amen. We're more than conquerors because we belong to Jesus Christ. Now, let's go on. Let's go on to verse 7. It says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Now, this is Jesus, John declaring that he will come. And when he literally comes in the cloud, literally means to where everybody can see him. The Bible says every eye will see him. When he comes back, literally makes his appearance, every eye is going to see him. Those that persecuted him, amen, the children, the seed, amen, the Jewish people, they will see him, and they will bow their knee to him. They'll wail because of him. They'll recognize he is our King of Kings, and he is our Lord of Lords. Amen. Now, all eyes in the immediate vicinity of Jerusalem, where he lands, and when he touches down, amen, when he comes back, his feet are going to touch, amen, Olivet. Glory to God. In Zechariah, you can read about that in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Why don't we skip over there and read Zechariah 14. Glory to God. Okay. Zechariah. Amen. Chapter 14. Okay. Verses 1 through 5. Let's read that scripture. It says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the horse and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Judah. And the Lord, my God, shall come, and all saints with thee. When Jesus comes back at this time, all the saints, amen, those that went up with him, were going to come back. Literally, he's coming back. Now, this is a beautiful vision of Jesus touching down on Olives and his feet landing. Glory to God. The Bible says that there'll be a split. Amen. He's going to touch down, and every eye is going to see him. Can you just see, beloved, how great a God we have? We have a great, big, wonderful God, and only God could do something like this. Glory to God. So when Jesus makes his appearing, he's going to do it in fine fashion. Amen. When he came the first time, it was as a suffering lamb. Amen. When he comes back, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Glory to God. Verse 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. He's the beginning. Come on now. And he's the ending. Amen. God started it. Guess what? He's going to finish it. He's going to bring all things full circle, beloved. Glory to God. Now listen, let's go on to verse 9 and 10. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, let me stop right here just for a moment. John was on Patmos. He went there, was banished there because of preaching the gospel. And you know what, beloved? These men of God suffered greatly for the word. Amen. They went through much tribulation. They went through much persecution. Glory to God. And he was there on this island. It was a volcanic, treeless, no trees there. It was a rocky island. It was about 30 miles southwest of Samos. And it was made a place of exile. The Romans made it a lowly place for criminals. And John was sent there. Amen. He was sent to that island because of his stand for Christ. Glory to God. But the Bible says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He didn't let being banished to the Isle of Patmos stifle his fellowship with God. He remained faithful to the Lord. He remained faithful to God. Come on now. In the midst of what he was going through, in the midst of being put on an island that was rocky, that was desolate, he couldn't get off of there. Amen. They sent him there to die. But God used that time to reveal this great word to him because God had found him faithful. Glory to God. He had to have a messenger, sent it by way of the angel, amen, through John, to the pastors, to the angels, the churches, amen. The angel of the church represented the pastors, amen. Now, he heard a voice as of a trumpet. Now, this must have been real loud to him, and I could just imagine when he began to see this in the spirit. He says, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, this is Jesus, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. He's giving him instruction, amen, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. This is seven churches in the area in Asia that he was to write to. Now, when the Bible says, and I turned to see the voice that spake unto me. You know, when you hear a voice, you want to know who's talking to you. You want to literally see them. You should want to make contact with them by eye-to-eye contact. So he says, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Mm-hmm. How many of you know in the presence of God there are candlesticks before you go into the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament? If you get a good view of the tabernacle, there were golden sticks there. Amen. Seven of them. Seven means completion. Amen. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, and these candlesticks represents the churches. So we know that God was in the midst of every one of the churches. And like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps, with a golden girdle. And how many of you know around your waist represents truth? Glory to God. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, and as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. This is an awesome vision of Jesus. Amen. In the midst of the candlesticks. Glory to God. Now, let's go on and read 17 and 18. It says, and when I saw him, this is the effect that this vision had on John. It says, I fell at his feet as dead. Amen. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Jesus is letting him know who he is. I am he that liveth and was dead. Amen. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Jesus conquered death and hell. John probably thought, I'm surely going to die now. But Jesus said to let him know, don't be afraid, son. It's all right. I'm he. Yes, it is me. I'm alive. Glory to God. And he has the keys now of death and hell. Amen. Keys represent authority. Remember that, beloved. So whenever God gives you his keys, he gives you nuggets in the word. That's a key. Amen. And when you apply that word, it'll unlock you. Glory to God. The Bible, the word comes, amen, to set us free. Amen. This book comes to set us free, comes to give us hope, comes to give us life, and that more abundantly. Glory be to God. Okay. Now, Jesus is going to give John some instruction. Glory to God. Let me just say this right now. Keys also signify power and authority. Amen. We've been given authority to declare the word of God. Amen. We've been given authority to preach the word of God. We've been given authority to be witnesses of Jesus. Come on now. Don't take that lightly. God's given us the keys to the kingdom. Amen. Life and death belong is in the power of the tongue. So as the word said, we can speak life or we can speak death. Amen. So we've got a key here. Amen. And that key will unlock your victory. Come on now. Will unlock your deliverance, as we talked about. Amen. Again, going back about the strong man. Those are keys. Amen. When God enlightens your eyes to something, you're never the same again. When you can really see Jesus for who he is, you will never be the same. If we really knew who he was and what he really came to do for us now, we wouldn't walk the same. We wouldn't take for granted the word, oh, it'll be there. Come on now. We would really pick up our life. Amen. And we will obey. We will do what God is calling us to do. Amen. Verse 19, he says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. He's giving him instruction. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Okay? And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, real quickly, I want to let you know that, glory to God, Jesus is in the midst of these candlesticks. These seven stars are the angels of the seven churches or the pastors. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest, the Bible says, are literally the seven churches. So Jesus is telling him, I want you to write. These are messages that I'm giving to the churches. And he was to immediately write this down and send it to them. How many of you know we must follow instructions? Follow the book, beloved. Follow it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, that takes us through chapter 1. Amen. On our next broadcast, we're going to pick up with chapter 2. And we want to begin by talking about the church at Ephesus. We're going to go in and really find out what this church was all about, the message, amen, that Jesus had to Ephesus. You've been listening to Set Free Live, brought to you by Women of Power Ministries. Amen. I pray that this lesson has been a blessing. I want you to read this chapter. Amen. Allow the Holy Spirit to begin to speak to you, really giving you a view of Jesus and who he is and what he's done. Glory to God. Be encouraged, beloved. Know that God is with you. Amen. He'll not leave you nor forsake you. Father, we thank you for this word today. We ask, God, that you give us a greater hunger and a thirst after your word. Take this word down deep in our heart. Help us to hide it that we might not sin against you. Bless your people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that you'll be blessed. Visit us, amen, on our website. Email us, Deborah@WOPMinistries.org, or visit us on our website, www.wopministries.org. Until next time, beloved, be blessed in Jesus' name.